Dear friends, today we consider this text from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars, and she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has sent out her maids and calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come in here." She says to those who lack judgment, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding." If you travel northeast from Athens, Greece, on the road to Corinth, you'll come upon the ruins of Delphi. Delphi is a place where Greeks thought was the center of the whole world. And they, in the 6th century BC, would come to the temple of Apollo there, seeking answers to questions. People came from all over the world to seek wisdom from the oracle who stayed there in the temple. But the oracle could not answer the age-old questions like, "Who am I? Why am I here? What should I be doing? And where am I going?" From the dawn of creation, man has been trying to answer questions like these to make sense of himself and his world. He's been seeking understanding. But as time marches on, we aren't getting the understanding we seek, and we aren't happier, and we aren't able to conquer our own nature. These questions still plague us. What's wrong? With all the great minds that we have had, and all the thinking that's gone down before us, with the lessons of history left for us to us examine, it's hard to imagine why we aren't further along than we are right now. Why are we asking the same questions that they asked way back then, 2,500 years ago? Don't we have enough information available to us? It's more challenging today because we are inundated with information flying at us from all directions. It's hard to get the ones that we want with all this noise. Average person now can communicate faster with more people than ever before. It doesn't matter whether you're connected to the internet or not. Information's everywhere. And it doesn't stop. It's at work, it's at school, it's at home when we're trying to relax. Information's everywhere. So I ask you, what are we doing with all this information? Is it making our life better? Are we living happier lives now? Experiencing fewer problems? Are our decisions better? Are we any wiser? History tells us that we haven't learned much in spite of all we know. The situation changes, but the problem remains the same. Clearly, we need to do more, to do something better with all this information that we have. The American poet T.S. Eliot posed the question, "Where is the wisdom that we have lost in knowledge? Where is the knowledge we have lost in information?" In the world today, where the most watched television shows are sitcoms, where the best-selling books are written by those on the fringes of society, we are clearly in need of better thinking. We need wisdom. The Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. Proverbs, a book devoted to wisdom, says that wisdom is the most important thing in the world. And we must, we be willing to give up everything we have in order to get that wisdom. But we got to recognize that the Bible presents that there's a difference between having knowledge and having wisdom. Often what we find touted as wisdom is simply opinion. But wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. Now, knowledge is a funny thing. Knowledge can deceive us into thinking that we are wise. Maybe you've known somebody who is incredibly smart. They get straight A's through school. They might have several degrees, and yet their life is a complete mess. Maybe you know somebody who's well-educated but can't hold a job, can't follow simple instructions, and always has lots of problems. What's wrong? These people aren't dumb. They don't lack the necessary information to be a success in life. They lack wisdom. They have not yet learned how to apply the knowledge they have. having knowledge is not enough. We must learn also to be wise. Now, some call that having common sense. That's a part of wisdom. The ability to solve everyday problems without resorting to the first natural impulse. In this society where we create a law for every situation, we are losing the perspective that people should be able to think for themselves in ways that benefit everyone. We've lost the ability to apply what we've learned generally to our own lives specifically, and we lack common sense. But the Bible says that having wisdom is more than just having common sense. It's the ability to learn from our Creator. When we hear from God what our purpose is, how He made us, and that He has a plan for our lives, we find purpose and we find peace. And that's what Proverbs chapter 9 is talking about. Wisdom is portrayed as a wise lady. She builds a fine house, and she lays out this table, this banquet table, full of fine food and drink. And so she sends out her servants to invite everybody to come in and partake of this free meal. But very few are coming. She doesn't just call on the educated and the wealthy. She calls on everyone. Even the simple people are invited. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of understanding, she says. The Proverbs also say that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom, rather. It's not wise to look at just all the information around you and conclude that there is no God. The rocks cry out to us that they had a maker, because no matter, no substance comes into being by itself. We see that through our natural experience. And so the Bible leads us to humility. Paul says in our readings that we should be careful how we live. That shows our wisdom as well. He says, don't live foolishly, just getting drunk all the time, filling yourself with pleasure. That's only going to lead to debauchery, which is living for sensation only, which we easily recognize as a self-destructive behavior. Rather, he says, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you notice in that New Testament reading for today that he immediately mentions the music of the church, that is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I think music's a good measure of what people are thinking about. Look at the music that sells today. It'll tell you what's in most people's minds. Turn on the radio and you'll see what we really think as a culture and as a people. The Christian, however, is called to think and live differently. He has the knowledge that everyone else has, but he comes to different conclusions. He or she knows why he's here. God made him. The Christian knows who he is. He's a sinner, someone who is born blind to God and who once lived in rebellion to God against his Creator, sometimes even denying the Creator's existence. But the Christian now knows, for the sake of Jesus Christ, who is crucified for human sins, that the Christian is forgiven and restored. But it doesn't end there. He knows what he's here for, what his purpose in life is, to serve God and to live his life as an offering to God, not seeking to gratify every pleasure and every feeling and desire that comes along, to gain tremendous wealth or to live only for the finer things of life. No, the Christian lives wherever God places him, whatever situation in life, and the Christian finds his purpose is now to serve God by serving others, just as he himself has been served by God. The Christian knows where he's going, too. Knows where his direction is going. We continue on in this life, whatever the circumstances, because we know that Christ has gone before us. No temptation, no hardship, no sorrow can keep God from loving us just as we are right now. And when God says that our life on this earth is over, we know that he will come to take us from this place to that place in the kingdom of heaven. We know where we're going. This is true wisdom. Know who you are, know your purpose, and know where you're going. And true wisdom guides our use of knowledge, sifting it, focusing it. This true wisdom, that is trust in what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross, is connected now to our own behavior and how we live in this world. We don't just react to things that happen, letting our emotions take over, but we stop and we ask ourselves, what am I doing? As a wise Christian thinks about situations that he might become involved in. And in that way, he can decide how best, in advance, he will respond in a God-pleasing way. Wisdom looks beyond the moment to that picture of eternity. We're always looking at that big picture, to how one day we will be there in that great throne room of heaven. And then Jesus will be at the center and we'll all be worshiping him in joy. And that's how we face the problems, the challenges, and the situations that we're in today, with an eye to that scene of which Christ has made us a part. We act in a way that agrees with that picture of us in heaven. Now, only God has a full perspective of all things. So wisdom leaves a great deal of things up to him. We can't answer all the mysteries that come our way in life. But friends, we do know one important thing, don't we? The most important thing, that we are precious to God. He sent his son into the world to die for each one of us, even before we were born. And because of that, he forgives us. He knows us personally, and he promises to be with us every step of the way and to help us with whatever we're facing. This is wisdom. And this wisdom is available to everyone. It's like a free banquet table set out in our presence. It's like when you walk in the grocery store and you're going past the meat counter and there's that lady there with the samples. What do they call her? The demo lady? You know, I always go right for those people. Leave my wife and family behind. I'm heading for that thing because it smells so good. And they say, try this, try this. Only in this banquet, Jesus is the main course. And we are wise as we feed on him when we have that knowledge of him as the world's one and only Savior, the one who brought us back to the God who made us. Now, wisdom requires humility. You must be teachable. If you put these things into practice, then you must be willing to take a look at what you know yourself and the ideas you hold. It requires an outward focus, not a selfish inward one. And a wise man never stops asking questions. He realizes what he knows is but a drop in a vast sea of knowledge. The beautiful thing is that the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Savior of the world is the greatest knowledge, and that by receiving it, we become wise to salvation. God, give us this wisdom always. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.